स्मरसिचात्मानम् अविज्ञासखं सखे हित्वा मां पदन्निच्छन् भौम भोगरतो गतः अपि स्मरसि चात्मानम् विज्ञात् सखं सखे हित्वा मां पदमनिच्छन् भौम भोगरतो गतः अपि स्मरसि चात्मानम् अविज्ञात् सखं सखे हित्वा मां पदमनिच्छन् भौम भोगरतो गतः अपिस्मरसि डू यू रिमेम्बर च ऑल्सो आत्मानम् द सुपर सोल अविज्ञात अननोन सखम फ्रेंड सखे ओ फ्रेंड हित्वा गिविंग अप माम मीम पदम पोजिशन अन्विच्छन डिजायरिंग भौम मटेरियल भोग एन्जॉयमेंट रतः अटैच टू गतः यू बिकेम Translation. The Brahmana continued, My dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Ichchadvasha Samutthena द्वंद्वमोहेन भारत सर्वभूतानि सम्मोहं सर्गे यान्ति परंतप ओ सायन ऑफ भारत अर्जुन ओ कॉन्करर ऑफ द फोर ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज आर बॉर्न इनटू डिल्यूजन ओवरकम बाय द ड्युअलिटीज ऑफ डिजायर एंड हेट दिस इज एन एक्सप्लेनेशन ऑफ हाउ द लिविंग एंटिटी फॉल्स डाउन इनटू दिस मटेरियल वर्ल्ड इन द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड देयर इज नो ड्युअलिटी Nor is there hate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands Himself into many in order to enjoy bliss more and more. The Supreme Lord expands Himself in different categories. As mentioned in the Varaha Purana, He expands Himself in Vishnu Tattva, the Swamsa expansion, and in His marginal potency, the Vivinnausha or the living entity. These expanded living entities are innumerable, just as the minute molecules of sunshine are innumerable expansions of the sun. The Vivinnamsha expansions, the marginal potency of the Lord, are the living entities. When the living entities desire to enjoy themselves, they develop a consciousness of duality and come to hate the service of the Lord. So this, I just want to break that. The bliss or ananda is the purpose of the existence. Anande jatani jivanti, even Upanishads state that everything comes from ananda, everything resides in ananda and goes back in ananda. So in one sense, even the living entities are Krishna, because they are coming out of it. So here Prabhupada is saying that just like sun is in sunshine, the molecules of sunshine, similarly Krishna expands as marginal potency. Those are living entities, Vivinnamsha expansions. In this way, the living entities fall into the material world. In the Prema Vivarta, it is said, Krishna bhairmukh hoya bhogavancha kare nikatast mayatare japatiya dhare. The natural position of the living entity is to serve the Lord in a transcendental loving attitude. When the living entity wants to become Krishna himself or imitate Krishna, he falls down into the material world. Since Krishna is the Supreme Father, his affection for the living entity is eternal. When the living entity falls down into the material world, the Supreme Lord, through his Swamsha expansion, Paramatma, keeps company with the living entity. In this way, the living entity may someday return home back to Godhead. So here again, Prabhupada is saying that, quoting again from Prema Vivarta, that although living entity is coming from ananda, full of bliss, Satchidananda, that's the nature of Krishna, same is the nature of living entity. When it becomes bahirmukh, it becomes covered. This is very difficult to explain. You know, many times we explain that when you are covered, therefore you can't experience your eternal nature or your eternal nature as being blissful. It's very difficult to understand how an entity, example is given of a spark. The spark is covered by the ash. Yes, it's covered from the others, but how it is covered from itself? So how living entity is covered from itself, its own enjoyment of its eternal nature, is also kind of achintya. It's very difficult to explain. Often we criticize Shankaracharya of how the Maya could cover the Brahman. But in one sense, how even Maya could cover, itself, the entity from itself. So the only explanation is that because there is Krishna and this is his potency, although it's nature of living entity, by inconceivable potency of the Lord, which is Maya, that living entity is not been able to experience his own nature. Otherwise, the examples are only, indicative. They can't be taken, in its as the fullest explanation of covering of a living entity. Because it's not possible to take away the self nature of an object or a personality. Just like sugar, sweetness has to be there. You may cover it from others, but in itself the sweetness will remain. Or a fire, the light and the heat will remain. Okay, from our eyes it could be covered by putting some ash or putting something else. But from itself, it cannot be covered. This is only possible because it's an inconceivable potency of the Lord who desires it that way. Tadanugraha santi na santi adupekshaya, as Bhagavatam says. Svabhava jivayavacha yadanugraha santi na santi adupekshaya. That one controversy is there. That how can somebody who is eternal be still created? That Lord is eternal, time is eternal, karma is eternal, living entities are eternal. There are, I think, 7 eternals, if I remember correctly. So bhava jiva vache, first I forgot, anybody remembers the first line? So karma kalasya subhava jiva vache yad anugraha santi na santi adupekshaya, one of the favorite verses of Madhvacharya, that he explains that there are realities, Svatantra and Aswatantra. Independent reality and dependent reality. And he has divided into basically three, that Lord, living entities and his energy as three. And as Shankaracharya tried to put them as one, you know, the essence of spiritual quest, the philosophical spiritual quest to understand, differentiate illusion from sat, from reality. This is the, according to Shankaracharya, that's the real purpose of inquiry. Whereas Madhvacharya says, no, the purpose of inquiry is to understand two kinds of realities, Svatantra and Aswatantra, dependent and independent realities. So there he uses this verse that although living entities are eternal and even the Krishna's energies are eternal, still they are created in a sense that they are dependent on the Lord. Yad anugraha santi. They are eternal because Lord so desired. It's very difficult to conceive again. Without time, we can conceive of a reality. Reality always has time in our head. Without time factor, we can imagine an entity existing without space and time. So this limitation imposed because of our conditioning. So therefore, it's difficult to understand how Jai Shishi Gaurnita Aiki Jai Shri Radha Rasbiralta Vishakha Ji Ki Jai Saram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai. It's very difficult to understand how, first of all, eternal living entity could be created. Secondly, how eternal, all blissful, full of knowledge entity could be covered from itself by any external or any other. So explanation is Svatantra Aswatantra. Svatantram cha Aswatantram cha Prameya Dvividham Matam. This is how Srila Madhvacharya begins his exposition, that reality is of two types, Svatantra and Aswatantra. He doesn't want to divide illusion and real as two things, as Shankaracharya has done. Even the illusory potency of the Lord, he puts into Aswatantra as dependent reality. And therefore he goes on to explain that because they are dependent and Lord being independent, the covering of living entity by illusory energy from itself is possible. Although it's inconceivable, it is possible. By misusing this independence, the living entity falls down from the service of the Lord and takes a position in this material world as an enjoyer. This is to say, the living entity takes his position within a material body. Wanting to take a very exalted position, the living entity instead becomes entangled in the reputation of birth and death. He selects his position as a human being, a demigod, a cat, a dog, a tree, etc. In this way, the living entity selects a body out of 8,400,000 forms and tries to satisfy himself by a variety of material enjoyment. The super soul, however, does not like him to do this. Consequently, the supreme super soul instructs him to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord then takes charge of the living entity. But unless the living entity is uncontaminated by material desires, he cannot surrender to the Supreme Lord. So this is another point. It's to surrender is very difficult. It is not easy. One says it's easy, just surrender, give up everything, you know, we say. But to give up everything or to give up our dependence on anything else than Krishna, it is very, very difficult. Very easy to speak. As we look in our hearts or as we look at our activities, we find surrender is a very extremely, extremely difficult. Even our so-called surrender, even the outside world, is always conditional. You can see the whole country surrenders to one leader and then next minute they want to throw him out, you know, or put him on a trial or hang him. You know, because it needs a very high level of realization of really we are not in control and Krishna is in control. That he will protect us. But Shadavida Sharanagati, accepting everything favorable, anukulasa sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam, rakshishyati vishwaso, gopti varnam tatha, rakshishyati vishwaso, Krishna will protect me in all circumstances. It's very difficult, that kind of surrender. You can see that surrender in character of Jada Bharat. He was absolutely unaffected when dacoits caught him. It's easy to say, yes, we surrender to Krishna, whatever comes our way, we'll take and leave. As long as we are staying in a temple, guaranteed 2 meals a day, you know, place to sleep, fan on our head, you know, certain basic requirements are given. When that is not there, to have that full confidence, it's very difficult. As we go out of the world, outside world, and living under a tree, absorbing one's mind in Krishna's service or thinking thoughts of Krishna, not bothering to arrange for one's maintenance, you know, it needs with faith, like Madhavendra Puri, just sitting under tree and thinking of Krishna, not bothering, you know, to even collect bhiksha, to collect alms. Ayachit vritti. Ayachik means they don't want anything, just sit. If it is my bhagya, it will come my way. If doesn't, fine. Let me go ahead. Very difficult. That, this is kind of a, you know, surrender we are talking about. You know, real surrender. Yes, we surrender. We give up basic, you know, sinful activities. Prabhupada said one, it's not surrender, it is just becoming a human being. Following 4 regulative principles, you know, chanting Hare Krishna. Yes, chanting Hare Krishna is surrender in one sense. Following 4 regulative principles is becoming a, you know, civilized human being. It's not a surrender. Well, we can say in one sense there's one aspect of bhakti is to give up things for pleasure of Krishna. So you can say, yes, we gave up, you know, eating non-vegetarian food or onion, garlics, or, you know, taking tea or coffee or whatever for pleasure of Krishna. So yes, one sense it's, you can call it bhakti, but still it's not full surrender. Yes, some extent we are trying to please Krishna, but to have that faith, rakshishyati vishwaso, you know, unshakable confidence that no matter what, Krishna will protect me. I don't have to appease anybody, any materialistic person, for my belly, for my body, for my mind. It's very difficult. You know, we find many times, as Srila Grihasthas, you know, they have to have financial security. So many times we are forced to compromise in our life, issues which we don't agree with, because there are other, you know, considerations. What to speak of, you know, surrendering to Krishna completely, where there is no dependence on anything. That simply having that complete faith that if I serve you, I will be taken care of in every way. Rakshishyati vishwas. I will be protected. I will be fully protected. I don't have to worry about anything. And actually in this world, you know, there is nothing worth having. You know, like in Krishna Karanamruta, Vilomangal Thakur says, Tvai prasanne kimiya parerna, Tvai aprasanne kimiya parerna. He says, if I am able to make you happy, what is the use of this world? And next line he says, if I cannot make you happy, what is the use of this world anyway? So this world is not worth pursuing. You know, whether you make Krishna happy or not, you know, this is the point he's trying to make. But to realize that, to understand that, and to practice it, it needs, as Prabhupada says here, but unless the living entity is uncontaminated by material desires, he cannot surrender to the Supreme Lord. We cannot surrender, you know, unless the heart is cleansed. You know, to surrender needs, and as you surrender, the heart becomes cleansed. That act of surrender, you know, needs very deep realizations, very high level of purity, detachment from the senses, detachment from personal honor. All these gross and subtle desires have to be completely out of our heart. Otherwise, surrender is not possible. This is a compromise surrender. We try to handle both. So it's very, very deep sentence here. But unless the living entity is uncontaminated by material desires, he cannot surrender to the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Bhokta Rama Gyatapasa Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Sridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantim Ruchati. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and a benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. And then we can attain peace when you understand this verse, that Krishna is Bhoktaram of all the Agya and Tapasa. Sarvaloka Maheshwara is the supreme controller, Ishwara, of all, everything. And Srudam Sarvabhutanam. And he is the real friend. Many times we try to be friend, you know. I remember sometime, you know, when once I had, this is my personal experience, I had, made some lot of money in one particular deal, and I wanted to help devotees. I thought I'll not give it to ISKCON. But many devotees are there who have served full time. So I should help them, you know, set them up. So that, especially gross devotees, so they should not be, you know, dependent on temple or authorities. They can live honorably. So I had this idea in my mind two, three years back. So I was thinking, I had listed a few devotees whom I should do it. So I went to Jaranivas Prabhu, with thinking that he's going to, you know, very happy, appreciate I'm trying to do this. So then he quoted this verse. He said that, Sridam Sarvabhutanam, only Krishna is everybody's friend. You don't try to be like Krishna. Don't try to be friend of everybody. You cannot be. You can help devotees, serve them, no problem. But never think. So then I realized that actually in that my desire to serve, there was this wanting to be the best friend or the closest friend of those devotees whom I was thinking I should help. Not realizing that actually it's only Krishna who is Sridam Sarvabhutanam, who can be the only friend, who can be the only real friend of every living entities. We can be friend to some extent, to some, you know, limited extent, and we could be genuine. We may not be, it's not that we are pretending to be a friend, we are really genuinely wanting to serve devotees or help anybody for that matter. But actually we have to realize, we cannot take this position of Krishna. Even if you try, first of all it will be dangerous for our own spiritual life. And secondly, we cannot. We see the best friends becoming enemies over a period of time. The time is such a powerful, powerful, powerful factor. Karma, kala, that verse is coming to my Sabhava jiva yavashya etanugrasandhina santi adupekshya. Prakurti karma kalasya svabhava jivayavacho yadanugrasanti na santi adupeksha. I think so, prakurti probably, I'm not sure. Anyway, to become a friend, we find the history, there are so many examples of many great friends, friendly people, friendly nations, you know. Time factor is such. And not only they became neutral, sometimes they become bitter enemies. If you look back at history, England and United States were allies. They fought against the Nazis. But in 1956, when Suez crisis took place, America was threatening to attack UK and they had to withdraw. And that time Khrushchev made a statement that said, support of America is the support which hangman gets from the rope. You know, the hangman, when you hang, there's a rope. No? The rope gives you some support to hang you. So Khrushchev said, you know, commenting on this, Khrushchev was then the head of USSR, he was General Secretary of Communist Party of USSR. So he made a comment, very funny comment. He said, the support of America is like a support hangman gets from the rope. You know, so he, I mean, whatever reason, they had disagreements. So there are, also he was not talking in front of, in respect of that, but actually what had happened was that, if I remember, the Hungarians had revolted against the communist rule. And, initially there was a huge eruption. And US was supporting them, you know, giving them all propaganda. We are behind you, you know. They wanted to make democratic or reform from communist regime. And Russian army, you know, had to, Red Army had to withdraw. Somewhere October 1956. But then, you know, this Suez Canal came, you know, problem came. And, you know, and then Khrushchev sent army and crushed the revolt and reestablished the communist state. So he was addressing probably the Hungarian people and said, if you depend on the American support, it's like a support hangman gets from the rope. The point is that this friendship, this support in this world is actually illusory. And there's no guarantee it will remain with you all the time. This friendship, whether accepting friendship, you know, as somebody we depend on as a friend, or we want to help somebody as a friend, it's always very limited, very, very temporary. And it cannot be in true sense. We really don't know. The real friend is that person who knows what is good for other. And tries to do that for that person. And he has no reservation to express his heart to that. Like here he's saying, no, you may not know me, but I'm your real friend. No. In one sense, the person is punished because he didn't listen to the friend, Krishna. But the friendship is there. Even if you don't listen to that person, still is your friend. This is only possible for Krishna. The moment somebody doesn't agree with us, you know, or does something which is inimical to us or to against our interest, our friendship starts to, you know, waver. Is it really my friend? Or I was really his friend? Was friendship? I was talking to two devotees in Bangalore. I don't mention their names. A long time friend. From 1985, I'm seeing them, till 2009. And devotees used to say, there is one soul and one soul, two bodies. You know, one Atma and two bodies. They're so close. And recently, they had some, you know, strong disagreements, the point of not talking to each other. It went that far. So I was talking to one of them, you know, and he was saying that, you know, how, you know, he still likes him, but, you know, he sees so many things are wrong in him. But he's afraid to mention because if he speaks, the relationship will become, you know, bitter. Then I was talking to him, what is the point of your relationship with, you know, friendship with this devotee? If you can't go and tell him that this is what you see wrong in him, you know, with polite manner, without feeling that he will not feel offended, then your friendship is very shallow. It has no depth. And similarly, he should be able to tell you what he feels, you know, is wrong with you. But then I had tried to arrange the meeting. For 4 hours we sat together and tried to resolve. And it was nice that they opened up and spoke. But the point is that, you know, many times these friendships are there, you know, when we are only have to speak sweet words or, you know, or something which is liked by the other side, other person. Moment it is something different, then, you know, it becomes difficult. Relationship becomes strained. So not even doing something, but simply giving your opinion or your thinking or your perception, it could be right and wrong, because relationships are not very deep, that the depth is not there. So what to speak of having a real friendship where you intimately understand the other person. We see, as I said, these people together for how many years now, 24 years, and still they could not relate like that. They could not understand each other. So it was good, you know, very nice friendship they had. At least did a lot of service together, but it lacked that depth, or they didn't discover that it was not so deep. So we'll find in our life, as we grow, as we our lifetime progresses, that many relationships are there which we cherish, we like, and time shows that they are quite not as deep and as cherishable as we thought. But we should not get discouraged, we should not get disheartened. Understand, actually friend could be Krishna. because he knows us most intimately than we ourselves know us. And he is always there with us as our well-wisher. Whether we are up or down, whether we are glorified and put on the throne, or we are thrown into the dust and kicked by everybody, whether we are king or a pauper. Now many times the friendships are there because somebody has got a power, money, position, you know, or something to material to give, or something to that effect. And when it is not there, then the friendships don't last, they go away. That is our experience. But Krishna's friendship is eternal friendship and genuine friendship, that he is with you. Although we not taking his advice, taking his instructions, in spite of him being the provider, not recognizing it, you know, trying to take his position. Very, very, very dangerous in the world, you can see. Trotsky and Stalin fought together to throw the Tsarist regime and establish communist utopian state. And the moment the problem came after Lenin's death, then Trotsky had to be thrown out, almost attempted to be killed by Stalin. The friends turned foes, because relationships were based on position or control or you know, material opulences. But Krishna's friendship is not that kind of a friendship. Only thing, we have to recognize it, we have to see it. It is very difficult, but we have to understand actual only friend. And if you don't recognize this friend, then life is frustration. No matter how much you have, how much opulences you have, how much honor you have, because it's all empty. It's all meaningless. Ye duniya agar mil bhi jaye to kya hai? There's one famous song. That in this world, even if you get, it's of no use. You get everything in this world. This world is not worth pursuing. Tvai prasanne ki miha purer na. Tvai aprasanne ki miha purer na. What is the use of this world? Even if I get. So here, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Friend of everyone. However, no one can take advantage of the Supreme Friend's instruction while making his own plans to become happy and entangling himself in the modes of material nature. When there is creation, the living entities take on different forms according to past desires. This means that all species or forms of life are simultaneously created. Darwin's theory, stating that no human being existed from the beginning, but that humans evolved after many, many years, is simply a nonsensical theory. From Vedic literature, we find that the first creature within the universe is Lord Brahma. Being the most intelligent personality, Lord Brahma could take charge of creation, creating all the variety found within this material world. In the end, as usual, Srila Prabhupada takes his dig at Darwin, calling his theory nonsensical. And the Vedic theory that from higher things, from spirit comes the matter and not from the matter spirit. You know, that's basically the fundamental difference in looking at the world. Mostly the what we call Western or the last 500 of so-called scientific development, advancement, or has always had one consistent guiding principle or paradigm, as they say, that from matter, simple things came the complicated things. Evolution. From the matter came the consciousness, the arrangement of fundamental principle, fundamental particles or fundamental entities. We don't know particle or not, whatever. It just keeps changing. Rasaraj Prabhu can explain better than me. But the whole but the fundamental reality is matter. This is given, and that never changed. Whereas from Vedic point of view, the fundamental reality is consciousness. Everything comes out of consciousness. So that's where the difference is. So here Darwin, the father of the same principle, he applied that, and he tries to explain that from the fundamental matter came the living conscious beings, which stands completely exactly, 180 degrees opposite of what Vedic fundamental theorem is. So Prabhupada said, this is nonsensical theory. The most intelligent being was first created, that is Brahma. And from him came the less intelligent beings, as time, and he created all of them. The creator is always superior to his creation. So Brahma is superior to all living entities created. And Krishna is superior to him since he created it. Whereas Darwinian theory is that the matter created the living beings, and as they evolved, superior beings came from the inferior beings. So creator is lower or inferior to creation. So these two opposing theories. I think I'll stop here. I'll read the translation of the verse again. It's 5 to 9, and we'll have 10 minutes for comments or questions. The Brahmana continued, "My dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world." Yes. Hey. Bhakta Rupa Prabhu.
This, in this last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says that Darwin's theory is nonsensical. So there's some controversy with those who agree that Darwin's theory is nonsensical. One ISKCON devotee has explained that although it's a fact that all the living entities are created simultaneously, it is not that they're all created simultaneously on the Earth planet. That therefore, some aspects of Darwin's theory of evolution are not incompatible with our philosophy of creation. Whereas other devotees are saying that everything was just, one time all the species were there, everything was functioning, at one time on the Earth planet. So you have any comment?
Definitely Brahma didn't create on the Earth planet. I think that makes sense. Brahma's creation is for the entire universe, not just Earth planet. Earth was a small part of the creation. But I think what Prabhupada is probably trying to say, we have to look at the perspective, look at the context. From Vedic literature, his context is Vedic literature. So Vedic point of view, it is nonsensical, because it contradicts the basic fundamental principle that consciousness is a fundamental reality. it's like authoritarian rule is nonsensical from American point of view, but maybe from American democracy is nonsensical from Islamic point of view, or from different old point of view, where they thought that the kings had right to rule, by their birth or by for whatever some reason. This democratic system is nonsensical. But look at what perspective they are, from what perspective they are talking. So Prabhupada's statement has to be taken into context. If you accept that the modern scientist basic fundamental principle that from matter, simple matter, everything came, then it could be one of the possible explanations. We cannot deny that. But if you accept the fundamental principle that consciousness is the fundamental reality, then definitely, you know, it is nonsensical. So I think we'll have to look at the context in which, you know, it is said. And actually every statement has to be seen in the particular context. We can't just take it as a whole. If you just take one statement, you know, or one paragraph and try to explain the entire, you know, teaching of a person or, you know, or a book, it will give you a very, very, very contradictory or funny explanations. That's what exactly the attack of Madhvacharya is on Shripa Shankaracharya, that he has divided the Shrutis into two varieties. One is, he calls his, you know, I forgot the Sanskrit word, something which novel things are taught, anuvadaka, repetitive, are repeating. So wherever Shruti says that there is, you know, there is Lord, there is a two people, you know, entities, God and living entity, then it is repetition of what you already know. It does not give any novel knowledge. But whenever it say, talks about, you know, Atma eva Brahma, or, you know, Eko Brahma Ditya Nasti, these five Mahavakyas, look, something novel, unknown is being taught. So therefore he says that this repetitive knowledge which is already there with everybody is not real knowledge, nothing great. Already everybody knows. So it should not be kept on the same footing as this Mahavakyas. This is Shankara's one explanation. So he says, Madhvacharya says that if you take that and try to interpret the whole Shruti, then he quotes some verses where there are statements saying from nothing everything came, you know, in scripture, I forgot, in Upanishads. He said you'll end up with, you know, nihilistic Buddhism. You know, if you take that statement and try to explain the whole Upanishads, you have to look at the whole, you know, body of Upanishads to come to the conclusion of what Utalika Aruni had in his mind, or whatever, you know, Gautam had in his mind when they spoke these verses. We can't just take, the context is very important. We have to see. Since the Prabhupada's teaching, we cannot just take, you know, one sentence or one statement or one paragraph. Oh, he said that is nonsensical. Nonsensical and fight. No, we have to see what context is saying. Why is he saying? Look at the whole body of literature he has written, and take that statement and understand that statement, and you will find that it is not, you know, it is not that simple. You take one statement, because the world is a complicated place, and we are conscious beings having different minds, and the perceptions of everybody are going to be different. So I would say, no, this could be my explanation, that you have to look at the context, and yes, if you take from Vedic point of view, it appears nonsensical because it contradicts the basic fundamental, you know, principle from which everything is developed. But if you don't accept, if you consider from, you know, his point of view, in his own theory, in his own realm, in which he believes that, you know, that matter is a fundamental reality, you know, it makes sense that then it could come like that. You want to offer something more? We can take another question.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, this is a comment, there is one comment and one question. Srila Prabhupada says in one lecture that Mitra, Bandhu and Suhrut. So he defined Mitra means ordinary friend and Bandhu means relative. Suhrut means Krishna, who is your friend, who constantly thinks of your welfare 24 hours.
Very good, very good. Prabhuji, has everybody heard this? He said that Prabhupada has somewhere else has categorized friendship into three: Mitra, Bandhu and Sirud. The three Sanskrit words which means friend. But Mitra means, Prabhupada says, just friend, you know. Bandhu means somebody like a relative who is a little more concerned about you. And Sirud means Rud means from the heart, somebody who is always your well-wisher, who is continuously always thinking of your well-wishing. So he said Sirud is only Krishna. Others are Mitra and Bandhu, correct? Very nice comment. Yes, Prabhu.
We know that Krishna is our friend and Krishna is acting like a friend to us. So in this, how can I act like a friend to Krishna?
How can I act as a friend to Krishna? Prabhu has asked a question that Krishna is our Surud. We accept. He is the only real friend. Now how should we reciprocate? That's what you're saying, right? How we reciprocate friendship? By doing what Krishna wants us to, isn't it? To try to surrender. But at the same time, we have to look at our ability. Also, Rupa Goswami says that, you know, when we are practicing bhakti, Krishna consciousness, we understand that there are obstacles in our surrender to Krishna or in our reciprocation to Krishna. He says, he guarantees, he says, Krishna is a gentle person, very grateful person, you know, he gives his qualities, he's very grateful. You know, don't worry, if you surrender to him, he won't kick you, you know. Don't be afraid. Apart from being all powerful, you know, controller of the whole world, he's a very grateful person, Rupa Goswami says. So you don't be afraid to surrender to him, because if you surrender, he will not exploit you, he will not, you know, misuse your surrender. Because we see in this world, we surrender to somebody and it's been exploited or used, and that's fact of life. So therefore there's a fear, so don't be worried, you surrender to him. But even after accepting Krishna, not only my Surut, he is a grateful person, he is always there. No, even if I misbehave, he'll not misbehave. He's a very just person. Still there's a difficulty in surrendering. So therefore the process of bhakti is given, where we go and pray to Krishna. That please, three kinds of prayers are there. Three kinds of prayers. Samprathanatmika, Dainabodhini, and Lalasamai. So Rupa Goswami says, third one, it should be kept away, Lalasamai. How we want to reciprocate with Krishna? That's a little bit far. But we should concentrate on these two. Samprathanatmika and Dainabodhini. You go and you pray from the heart to Krishna. That I really want to surrender to you. I really want to serve you. You know, please engage me in your service. And Dainya Bodhini, that although I want to serve you, so many anarthas are there. No. Expressing our inability, our fallen nature. Fallen does not necessarily mean breaking principles, and that's gross fall down. Fallen means our nature of not reciprocating to Krishna, not really, although we know, but we just can't do it. Although we know that he should be served, we should not have these attachments, you know, gross or subtle. We shouldn't have this dependence on anything else. But still it is there, we can't deny. When you look at our heart, we know it's there. And we have to struggle to get it out. So expressing in front of Krishna, or deity form of Krishna, these things are there. How do I, you know, please take it out. I want to give it up, you help me. You. And then actually we can reciprocate. When really that contamination goes, then only we can, like Prabhupada said, that very... We can surrender only when there is no contamination. Then actually we can reciprocate with Krishna. And Krishna is so grateful that if we reciprocate, then he becomes completely controlled by such person who reciprocates with him. As we see, the devotee can bind Krishna. And even Krishna wants, like Bilwa Mangal Thakur said, that Krishna, you are all powerful. But I'll accept that statement only if you can leave my heart. It's not a statement of arrogance, you know, you have to understand. It's a statement of love. See, again, person who is speaking and with what mood is saying. That his heart is so cleansed. I think first or second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, which says that Krishna is bound in the heart of a devotee. I forgot. What is that verse? First or second verse? The first canto, first chapter. Commenting on that, he says that, you know, Krishna, I bound you in my heart, you can't leave. Anyway, Bilwa Mangal Thakur says that you can't leave. So Krishna is, it's not that Krishna is, you know, less powerful, but that love of a devotee is so powerful, so overwhelming, and Krishna is such a grateful person that he feels obliged to devotee. So he won't leave his heart. Even if you want him to throw out of your heart, he won't leave. Right? Like we knew the gopis case. They, Baba, get out of our heart. Just trouble is coming. leave us alone. Like Mahaprabhu is saying, Dekhi ai upaye, Krishna asha chhadi diye. Asha chhadi lo, sukhi hoye mon. Mahaprabhu is, you know, he was last part in Puri, in Gambira. He is, you know, feeling separation from Krishna. Very, very deep separation. And he was suffering. I mean, once externally suffering, you know, he's rubbing his face against the wall. You know, he's going out of the room in the night, running like a mad person, jumping in ocean. And you know, he was, and Krishna was not becoming present before him. So he was saying, while you know, one of his those moments, suddenly thought of Pingala, that prostitute Pingala from Srimad Bhagavatam. Pingala ra vachana smriti karaila prabhur mati. Pingala was a prostitute. She was sitting in her standing in the doorway, waiting for customer to come. So that particular night, it so happened, she saw somebody is walking, you know, on her alley. It came, crossed her and went away. She was hoping that he would come. He did not come. Next person came, walked in the alley. Her eyes were following her. He also came, passed. 1, 2, 3, 4, every customer came, but nobody entered her house. So by the daybreak, her heart was broken. She was lamenting. What is this? You know, I didn't earn anything. I didn't get one customer. And then she started to think, why should I lament? You know, I'm a prostitute. I'm doing this abominable profession, selling my body to earn money. And I'm crying that I couldn't get a customer. So she was wondering, what is the cause of my lamentation? So she said, Ashai paramam dukkham, nairasham paramam sukham. So she said that actual my cause of lamentation is not getting customer, but that hope, asha, hope to get a customer and not getting it fulfilled has caused the distress. So she spoke this word, Ashai paramam dukkham, nairasham paramam sukham. That if the hope is the cause of suffering, and nairasham, not hopeless, or not having any hope, it's sukham, it's giving happiness. So Mahaprabhu remembered that verse of Pingala from Bhagavatam. Pingala ra vachana smriti karaila prabhur mati. And then he started to think. And he started to wonder, yes, this is the best way. Dekhe ye upaye, Krishna asha chhadi diye, asha chhadi lo, sukhi hoye man. This is a very good, he thought, this is a very good way, upaye. Upaye means very good remedy to become happy. Let me give up Krishna asha. Let me give up hope for Krishna, thinking of Krishna. Get him out of my mind. Asha chhadila sukhi hoye man. If I give up this hope of Krishna, I'll be happy. But immediately, jare chai bhulaite shei suya ase chitte. Sakhi se kahe hoya vismite. Immediately Mahaprabhu decided, of course, Sakhi means he was in the mood of gopis. So he spoke to Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai. That what to do? Jare chai bhulaite. To whom I am trying to forget, he's lying in my heart. Yatna kari nahi bhulaite. Even if I try, I cannot forget him. This vairi, this enemy of mine, is sitting in my heart and is not leaving my heart. What to do? And then, you know, he goes on to explain that verse. So point is that Krishna is a grateful person. And once you surrender to him, you serve him, he'll sit in your heart. To the point, even if you want to get him out, he won't leave. That kind of friendship is there. He's also right now in the heart, but he's not reciprocating because you're not asked for reciprocation. But that time, his remembrance, ultimately bhakti means remembering Krishna, isn't it? Rupa Goswami has said that he has explained 64 angas of bhakti. But then he says, Svartamya Satam Vishnu Vismartavyam na jatujit. Sarva vidhi nishedo syur eta eva kinkara. All the 64 angas, do's and don'ts, vidhi and nishedha I have given you. But one principle is there which governs all this. What? Smartavyam satatam Vishnu, remembering Vishnu always. Vismartavyam na jatuchit, and never forgetting him. And all the vidhi and nishedha I have taught you, all the do's and don'ts which I have given, are eta eva kinkara. They are subservient to this principle. So all our chanting, hearing is supposed to, in our heart, bring the memory, remembrance of Krishna. Our service, our practice, fasting on Ekadashi, all is supposed to bring, help us remember Krishna. When that remembrance becomes uninterrupted, continuous, that's where Krishna's reciprocation starts. I think I have, you have one more?
Yeah
please. I think we have crossed the time.
You are saying that just now, Smaranam, like in 7th canto of Bhagavatam I was reading that Srila Prabhupada comments that Sri Prahlad Maharaj, he's part Nitya Siddha and part Sadhana Siddha. What does that mean?
I really don't know. Part Nitya Siddha and part Sadhana Siddha, yeah. I have no idea. We'll have to look at the context again. But it could be possible, just my, you know, I don't know what Prabhupada really meant without looking at it. I could say that possible at some time Nitya Siddha comes in one particular kalpa. One particular kalpa could be, you know, it could be a not nitya siddha. But there is a statement I had from Narayan Maharaj many years back. You know, in Bombay, UBH Bombay. I think Devakinanda Prabhu asked him this question. I was very, not about Prahlad Maharaj, spoke about Pandavas. That there is a statement in Mahabharata that all the demigods came and also the eternal associates came. So he said both were there in the same personality. How, I really don't know. How the unity of experience could come, you know, when there are two entities in the same body. But I don't know. But this statement was there. I didn't ask him further question that time because I was too new of a boy, and no, he was talking to Devakinandan Prabhu. So he said that both were there present in the body of the Pandavas. The part, like for Arjuna, he said part of Indra and also part of eternal associate of. So anyway, you have something on this? I really don't know, Prabhu. How it is. There must be some explanation somewhere. We'll have to look at those relevant scriptural quotes. Grantharash Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol, Radharas Biharaji ki jai.